John 16 and verse 13. But when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will announce to you what is coming. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall announce it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. On account of this I have said that he receives of mine, and shall announce it to you. And then in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 13, from verse 1. Now there were in Antioch in the assembly, which was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me now Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, having laid their hands on them, they let them go. They went therefore, having been sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and then sailed away to Cyprus. And then in 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1. But the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall apostatize from the faith, giving their mind to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, cauterized as to their own conscience, forbidding to marry, bidding to abstain from meats which God has created for receiving with thanksgiving for them that are faithful and know the truth. And finally in Revelation, in chapter 3 and verse 22, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. I had in mind, that's an impression in relation to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And we will notice that in all these scriptures, there is the voice and speaking of the Spirit. And I've been thinking about this at the present time. We may wonder what the Lord is saying to us and all that is proceeding amongst us and amongst the people of God at this time. But how does he speak and in what way? I suppose the Lord can speak directly, but I was just impressed with these references in relation to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Think of the Lord here in John 16 speaking to his own. He's about to go away and he's telling them that he's sending them another comforter. And what the Spirit, when he is sent, when he come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth, and he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. So challenge to all of our hearts is, do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and what he is saying? What is he speaking about? He's speaking here. He would be communicating what is proceeding in heaven at the present time. He would be the channel through which the Lord's word would come to us. I feel really challenged as to this, as to how in tune I am and how much place I give to the Holy Spirit in my own life, in my own heart. Am I really seeking to hear what the Spirit is saying? We think of that typical example we have of the Spirit and the journey that he took in Genesis 24 to go to take the bride for Isaac. And it speaks there of what he spoke about when he met Rebecca and the family. It says he spoke of the treasures that were under his hand and all the things that he had to speak of, which would have attracted Rebecca in relation to going to meet Isaac. But think of all that's under the hand of the Holy Spirit at the present time, the treasures that belong to him. And whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. There's communications in heaven at the present time, and the Spirit is there as the one to speak in relation to us of what is proceeding in heaven. We I find myself much taken up much with what's proceeding on the earth and amongst man's world, but the Spirit doesn't want to engage us with man's world. He wants to engage us with the world where Christ is the head and center. There's two things going on at the present time, and the world is all proceeding in relation to the man of sin who will soon take his place, but What God is engaging believers with is his man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is soon coming to take us to be with himself. And that he would want us to be engaged with Christ, to see his glories, to see his excellencies. He says he announced to you what is coming in relation to all the glory of Christ, not in relation to this world. We know what's coming upon this world. It's under judgment. That's all been already been announced. And I believe the Spirit would want to engage us with Christ and all the sphere that he fills. What a difference it would make to my life and to our lives and to our hearts if we were more engaged with Christ. Speaks in Colossians about seeking the things which are above, where the Christ is. Is that really the focus and the intent of our hearts at the present time? You know, we might not have very long left here. None of us knows how long we have left here. We're looking for the Lord to come. We're not looking to die, but we're looking for the Lord to come. Says the sky, not the grave, is our goal. But we do not know what a day might bring forth. And it's, you know, when we're maybe laid aside, we think about things in relation to what is eternal and what God has in mind. And the Lord would bring these things to bear upon us at the present time. He wants us to be engaged with himself and all that he is. We are very much taken up, and rightly so, with what he has done. But what about the place that he now fills as an ascended one? Think of the Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall announce it to you. He wants to glorify Christ in our hearts and in our midst, in our occasions. That's the service of the Spirit. And he would speak to us in relation to these things at the present time. It says, the Lord says, all things that the Father has are mine. On account of this, I said that he receives of mine, and he shall announce it to you. That is the service of the Spirit at the present time. What a gift the Spirit is. We should be more thankful for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Spirit and in relation to the work of God in our souls. But what a wonderful moment it is when we realize that we have that gift. And if we feel we haven't got the gift, we can ask it. The Lord said that in Luke's Gospel. If you feel that the need of the Spirit, we can ask. Your Father would not withhold these things from us, but as believers, we would desire to give place to the Spirit. It speaks of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing that must be. How shallow I feel in relation to the place that the Spirit has in my heart. And so many times that I grieve him and desire that I don't quench him. He speaks, and sometimes we don't listen to his voice. And what a serious matter that is. But may we know what it is to listen to the speaking of and the service of the Holy Spirit at the present time. And then I read in Acts 13, this place in Antioch, where they were first called Christians. We think of this assembly here, think of the diverse people that were in that company. Says that there were those prophets and teachers, and there was these ones who are mentioned here. And it says, as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. We often link prayer with fasting, but here they were ministering to the Lord. That was giving him the place and substance from their hearts to minister to the heart of Christ. And what a privilege that is for us at the present time, that we can minister to the heart of Christ. I believe it's what he looks for, especially as we come together on Lord's Day morning and the time of the supper and what follows. It's an opportunity for us to minister to the heart of Christ. But it's that we're ministering to the heart of Christ, the Lord, and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit said, how did he say, how did the Spirit speak? I believe he spoke through maybe one of these prophets who were there. That's how he would speak through one another. But there was no doubting where the voice had come from, where the word had come from. It was the Holy Spirit that said, in relation to these two, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which they had called them. My impression in relation to this is, do we really give the Spirit place and freedom to speak to us in our comings together? What an opportunity, even an occasion like this, is to maybe the Spirit to speak to our hearts. But our reading meetings and our occasions of coming together is it would be to give the Holy Spirit his place that he might speak to us. And as I said earlier, in relation to John 16, it's what he would speak to us about. And he would love to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. So I just was in relation to the scripture, the sensitivity in this company, the way that they were making way and giving place to the Spirit. Well, may we be encouraged to know more of this. It says that having been sent forth by the Holy Spirit, there was a definite movement of heart and a definite sense that the Spirit had spoken and that he had sent these ones to the service of Paul and Barnabas. And we have to have a sense and a need of that. We're not just here randomly. We need to have a sense that the Holy Spirit is with us in whatever service we might take up. We cannot manage these things on our own. We need the help and power of the Spirit. And then when we come to Timothy, this is when Paul is writing in relation to the house of God in order. But he's here is warning of what's going to happen in latter times. And we need to realize that the Spirit, it speaks expressly. It's a definite speaking. At the present time, there's tremendous power of apostasy around us, and those that might profess the name of Christ, but those who are not real or true, it's apostatized from the faith. Lots of things are being expressed publicly, which are against the word of God, against God's thoughts, and it's the Spirit speaking. He's speaking expressly at the present time, and we need to take account of what is proceeding in the public profession and to realize that we need to be set apart from it, that to be here for the Lord. It says it's given their mind, those apostatized from the faith, given their mind to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. There's deception, there's demons. Think of these forces that are at work in the name of Christianity. We need to be aware of what is proceeding at this time. As I say, Paul's writing here to Timothy when the house of God was in order, but it's a warning as to what was coming. And he said in Acts 20, and speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he spoke about what was going to come in when after he had departed. And we can see the ruin and chaos that has come upon the Christian profession. But thank God that he has revived the truth in the hearts of those that are real. We need to realize that we need to be in attune with what God is doing in relation to reviving his work and our hearts. And may we not know what it is to give place to it. It says, receiving with thanksgiving for them who are faithful and know the truth. I believe, dear brethren, we have a great knowledge and understanding of the truth. We've had it open up to us and we've had it passed down to us. But the challenge to our hearts at the present time is, what are we doing with it? Are we valuing it, and are we giving it place in our hearts and affections? Those that apostatize are those that turn away. When the writer to Hebrews was speaking, he was warning them of the dangers of slipping and turning away. And there's been much turning away, in my lifetime. And sorrow fills our hearts as we think of so many that have turned away from the path of faith. Those that don't even acknowledge that God himself or the Lord Jesus. What a sad picture it is. So we need to be kept in our affections and realize what is proceeding at this time and have our eyes and our ears open to what the Spirit would say in relation to these things. And so when we come to Revelation, this is really this scripture is quoted, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Have we an ear? Not necessarily two ears, an ear to what is being said at the present time. It speaks somewhere about the ears of the assembly in the Acts, I believe. But here it is to the overcomer who has an ear. Think of what the Lord says of the Lord. He had his ear open morning by morning to hear as the instructed one. Well, here in these days, this is right at the end. Laodicea, this where this comes in, but each assembly here, of these seven assemblies, there was the appeal to he that has an ear. I notice that in the last four, it comes after the overcomer. But the first three, it relates to the ear first before the overcomer. I don't know what the significance of that is, apart from the fact of what is said in relation to these last four conditions go on to the end of the dispensation. The ear is right at the final end. We have here Laodicea. What a sad company that was. They didn't realize their state or their condition. Well, I trust that we're not in a situation like that. We trust that we are those that realize our condition, and maybe the Lord is speaking to us to wake us up out of our maybe Maybe we need waking up and reviving in our hearts and affections, but to trust that we're not like these Laodiceans. We couldn't claim to be like those in Philadelphia, but what a situation it was in Laodicea, the last condition, you might say, of the church, this lukewarmness. And we know that it's surrounded us as that's lukewarm means it's neither one thing or the other. The Lord says, I would that you were cold or hot, but there's this mixed and this lukewarm condition that which caused him to say, I'm about to spew thee out of my mouth. But that wasn't really my thought of concentrating on the state of Laodicea. My thought was that he has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Well, may we have an ear tuned at this present time to hear what the Spirit is saying. And may we be giving the Spirit his place, as I said at the beginning, in relation to the whole purpose of the Spirit being sent, that he to tell us that all that is proceeding in heaven at the present time, that we might be encouraged and might be steadfast in our movements at the present time. You know, whenever there's a response to what the Lord is saying, is taken notice of. Think of the conditions in Malachi at the end there, and yet there were a few. There were a few there who thought upon his name. May that just encourage at the present time. We might think, well, nobody's really bothered, nobody's taken much notice, but I believe that heaven takes account of those that are true and are giving place to the Spirit at this time, or may it be our portion for his name's sake.